Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. Lord, when we make room for you, the miraculous happens. So God, we make room for you to move tonight in our hearts, in our minds, God. Lord, we want to come in with expectation. God, I know that you had expectation this Friday night. But God, we just ask that you stir your spirit tonight. That we just don't come to check this off the box. That we want to shift in our spirit tonight. We want to prepare for Sunday. That we can celebrate like we've never celebrated. But tonight, God, I just ask, Lord, on this communion service, that we're going to see healings, we're going to see restoration, we're going to see dreams come back to life tonight, God. We come in with an expectation for your spirit to move. So, God, I get out of the way, speak through me, and let us get a revelation tonight. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Come on. I've already had a revelation. I'm married for the night. My wife's giving away my money. But you know, how many know it's a good thing when you got a wife that hears from the Lord? I hear it, but I know it's a good thing. So I'm actually glad that she heard that. I was probably too busy in my own head. So you guys can be seated. You know, I kind of want to tell you, we didn't always do Good Friday services at C3. Matter of fact, last year was our first Good Friday service. But it was so powerful that we said, man, we never shrink back. We always step into. And so those that came out tonight, good on you. And I'm telling you, have that hungry expectation. Because just like last year on Good Friday, people were healed. People were set free. People were restored. And it doesn't matter why you're here, but it does matter what you catch. You know, and I'm in a different place than I was last year at Good Friday. A little bit more seasoned, but mostly I went to Israel, and it had a profound effect on me. So tonight, I just kind of, I've had a lot of revelation about it. So I just want to give a couple, just quick nuggets, four little quick nuggets, but then we're going to take communion together. I've learned a lot about communion in the last year. I always had this thing that you just do it once a month, but I didn't know taking it in your home with my bride, believing for breakthrough, believing for things, that it's holy communion. And when you put a little reverence on the power of communion, man, your life can look totally different. You start to take communion over your marriage, take communion over your finances. It's a powerful thing we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm going to give a couple nuggets about what Friday revelations I've had. And then we're going to talk about communion. We're going to take it together. Then we're going to open up the altar for some expectation. And if you want to come down and get your life altered, it doesn't matter where you're at. How many know there's no ceiling in the Christian life? See, I always just thought checking the box I'm a Christian was it. Until I saw my first miracle and my friend get healed. Then it kind of changed my theology. Since then, I've had a lot of theology changes. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about there is no ceiling as we walk with Christ. It's going to be good. You guys can stay up or go down. What do you want to do? You should stay up. Perfect. Perfect. I feel like it's good when you stay up. Make me preach faster. Title of my message is TGIF and not the restaurant. But thank God it's Friday. I didn't have that revelation, but I went to Israel. I got my little ring that was made specially for me over there. Not that there's power in the ring, but there was a movie called The Lord of the Rings, so it could be significant. But here's a couple revelations. This is around Friday. 4 points. Point number one. Friday's the road to Sunday. Without Friday, there is no Sunday. And we'll talk about that, but the penny will drop. Do you know in the Old Testament, I've had a lot of revelations about when I was over in Israel and the disciples, and how on that Friday night, they folded like a deck chair. See, tonight marks Passover, celebrated by the Jewish community around the world, starting tonight at sunset. It's a powerful thing because they celebrate their freedom from slavery, that God delivered them. Do you know in the Old Testament, there's over 300 prophecies of the Messiah. And yet they're celebrating Passover and we're celebrating crucifixion. It's amazing. The enemy can blind so many people, but they're sticking to the roots of some of their firm beliefs. And when I was over there, we even had this amazing Jewish man give us and tell us the accounts of Jesus all throughout our trip. He knew the Bible better than some Christians. And I'm thinking to myself, what about the 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled? It's amazing that, do you know in Psalms 22, 16 to 18, they talked about the crucifixion of Jesus 1,000 years before it ever happened. That's not the amazing part. The amazing part was that was before crucifixion ever existed. They were describing something that was gonna happen to Jesus, the Messiah, before it happened. They studied this, the Jewish culture. And yet when it happened, it was missed. I think of myself, God, how much have I missed? Going to Israel, and there will be another trip in 2019. You're gonna hear about it, and I hope every one of you come. I want you to come. It was mind-blowing. Some of the stuff that I've read over and over again came to life when I was there. You know, just if one person fulfilled 8 prophecies, that's 1 to 100 trillion. One person, 8 prophecies. One fulfilling 48 prophecies of the Old Testament, talking about the Messiah. They said that's 10 to the 157th power. 1 for 300 prophecies of the Old Testament, only Jesus. It's such a mind-blowing thing. And I love the fact that, you know, we could be in the Word all the time and maybe miss stuff. That's why, man, coming down to the altar, letting the Holy Spirit move on us, getting a revelation, living a different life tomorrow. So powerful. But Friday is the road to Sunday, and I'm going to go through this because in Matthew 16, 21 through 25, a lot of things happen. And I never want to be this guy, but I want to give you a perspective that I didn't understand about the disciples before. You know, I want to embrace Good Friday because of what it means. I never celebrated it really before last year. I was pumped for Easter. But Easter isn't about you and I. It's about all our friends that don't know Christ. They don't know the good news. Coming without a friend on Sunday, we already know the good news. Revelation about Friday, hey, that's why we're here on Good Friday. Break some stuff off, take some communion together, get our hearts right, but don't come alone on Sunday. We're gonna celebrate. You know, so many people don't know the good news. They think God's after to get them, smack them down, cause a typhoon or something. They've never heard the grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's worth bringing somebody. 80% of people will say yes just to an invitation, they say. So let's be the invitation. Jesus began to explain to his disciples 3 different times that he had to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to suffer many things at the hands of elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. and that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. He told his disciples this. But you know his disciples? They just ignored him. Like, yeah, whatever. Even Peter said, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You know what Jesus said? Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. His own disciple, one of his best friends, the inner three, was still missing it after Jesus. I mean, remember, there's all these prophecies. And three times, Jesus was trying to give his disciples, his best friends, the clue, hey, it's coming. My time is near. And yet they were still not understanding what he meant by that. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. He's given them the answer to the future, and yet they would not listen. But how many know Sunday wouldn't happen unless he fulfilled that Friday promise? Number two, what's important about Friday? Friday broke religion. Religious-minded people want miracles and power. Intellectually-minded people want wisdom and truth. Here's what happened to the disciples, because I wanted to be, we have hindsight, so we don't fully understand. We already know the outcome. But when I was in Israel, I started to watch and see the places that Jesus walked. I got to see the Sermon on the Mount where he preached from. Heard a word from Pastor Jurgen there. I started to have revelation. The disciples were just walking through life with him. But then when he went to the cross that Friday, they panicked, they feared, they ran for the hills. This is where relationship with Christ should have mattered the most to the disciples. They knew him the best. My revelation was, man, I have this relationship with Christ, but I already know the outcome because I've read his word. What kind of disciple would I have been? See, we can get so religious, going to church on Sunday, going through the motions, that we forget about the relationship with Christ. The reason why this whole thing went down is to be in relationship with you and I. He tore the veil. He said, no more having to go through all these rituals, just pray to me. I want to be in relationship with you. It's a hard thing to wrap our heads around, even hard for the disciples, because they said, I've seen power. I've seen wisdom from my Savior. Yet, when he could have saved himself, he had no power and he had no wisdom. What got him into this predicament? The same people that saw all this wisdom, he would drop wisdom nuggets, drop bombs all the time in parables. They saw that man walk to the cross and they looked at him and said, that's not wise. But they knew all the prophecies, yet they were missing them. See, you can know a thing in your head, be around Jesus, and still miss it. That was my revelation, was wow. I don't want to be the guy that misses it on a Sunday. I love this in John 12:24. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces many. These weren't just words. See, Jesus was his own parable. He was saying that, man, I'm going to lay my life down to reap sons and daughters. But the disciples, they wanted to see power. They wanted to see him, the nails fly out on the cross, him step down and be like, I'm the man. But how many know that wasn't the purpose? There was another purpose. Not just to show his power. He was showing his humanity in that moment. That God, our Savior, showed humanity. Friday means the beginning of change. See, Good Friday proclaims the opportunity to proclaim, once you've been to the cross, everything changes. I know you never hear that statement, hey, you know what? The only thing that's going to save them is when they hit rock bottom. I'd like to say the only thing that's going to save them is the cross. I was a Christian for 30 years and doing it in my own might. But I realized, you know what? I can nail this burden to the cross. I can put my struggles and nail them to the cross. My sin was already nailed to the cross. My shame already nailed to the cross. The revelation is we don't have to carry this stuff around. It's already been taken care of. See, the cross changes everything. It's such a powerful thing to think about, but yet a lot of times we don't. I even wore a sweet cross for a while. Not even having my own revelation. But man, my cross looked bling. It's like, check my cross out. But when we have the revelation of everything changes at the cross, it's powerful. Everything was already taken. See, we can handle it in our own life, or we could take those words, it is finished, and understand what it means. It's all finished. Why are we still trying to carry that struggle with us, that burden with us? Tonight, I want us to have the revelation. Let's leave it at the cross. You know, see, Easter's about the empty tomb. We're going to party on Sunday. Like, why are they so into that party? Because we should be partying on Sunday with all our friends that we brought that just got saved. But tonight, it's about the cross. Last one is, Jesus is the ultimate example of faith over circumstance. See, when I came to this church, Pastor Jurgen would say, this is a faith church. You're like, right on. You know, it's so funny, I can come here and not even understand what that meant. And then you start saying, are you believing? Are you believing for a miracle in your own life? Are you believing for this healing? What, miracles are for today? Healings for today? And you'd read the same word I was reading, but I didn't come from a faith church. I came from a legalistic church, that I was never good enough. That maybe if I earn my way to the cross, I can get there. I'd have the revelation that Jesus died for me. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the world that all my friends knew, but they didn't know. This is a faith church. If you're coming here tonight, we want your faith to be built, inspired, increased, believing for the miraculous, believing for your friends, believing for your sons or daughters that may be away. It's amazing what a faith church can do to you. It builds a muscle on the inside that you don't know that you didn't have. But I would leave here, instead of checking the box, I'd leave here inspired to go tell someone. I'd leave here inspired to make a difference on Monday. Next thing you know, I'd be like talking about my faith on Monday, because I was living inspired for the first time. I got to experience the Holy Spirit power for the first time. I got to, someone prophesied over me. 30 years in church, no one ever prophesied over me. Well, I had my uncle prophesy a couple things, but I can't repeat them. But I want to tell you, in Hebrews 13:5, God promises never to forsake you. But let's be honest, church. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. In Hebrews, he said, I'm gonna never fail you. I'll never abandon you. But let's be honest, how many times maybe have you felt abandoned? But here's the good news. This is where the ultimate example of who Jesus was. There's two phrases that Jesus uttered on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? You know, it's because he took all our sin and God had to turn. But that's so we don't have to. You can let that sink in, but man, Jesus took you, took mine, took our kid, all our sin, put it on himself. The second thing he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. See, and one thing, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? He felt for the first time in his life the absence of his father. But here's the greatest example. He then said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What he say is, I'm going to trust you anyways, Father. I'm going to trust, even though I don't feel you for the first time in my life, I'm going to trust you anyways. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest example. How can those two things go together? Even at his death, Jesus showed us how to trust the Father beyond our circumstance. No matter what you're going through tonight, we want to learn to trust our Abba Father. That no matter what circumstance we're in, we could have the faith like Jesus to say, God, I don't know what the end looks like, but I know you did forgive me. You said you'd never forsake me. You'd never abandon me. I'm going to trust you and follow you through this valley. It's so important as Christians to remember there is no ceiling over our life. You know, Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection. It's one thing to predict the future. It's quite another thing to go to the cross willingly. Man, watching the Passion again. It's one thing to predict it. Man, I would have folded like a deck chair halfway through. I think after the second lashing. Maybe the first. I think of my wife and my kids, I'd probably take three more. There's no way to watch that movie and that he was willing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What if nobody believed? What if he'd still do it if just one of you? That's what makes it so radical. See, what we sometimes forget was death was still death to Jesus. It was on the other side of what happened. That's what we're going to celebrate on Sunday. But Friday, we got to remember that he went through the most torturous death, and it was still death even to him. But how he knows when he woke up, it's game over. You have to wait till Sunday to hear Pastor Juergen preach that message. It was his trust in the Father's promise that caused him to wager everything he had, his very life. As a man, Jesus modeled how to trust the Father. Man, it's amazing that I can still be seeing these miraculous things and still have trust issues. That's why I married a great bride. That's why I'm saying we need the Holy Spirit in our life. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I hope you don't leave here tonight without receiving baptism of the Holy Spirit. 30 years, no baptism, but I believed in Christ. Came to this church, Faith Church. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Started watching miracles. Started getting prophetic words for people that I got to see the fruit of later. That every one of you have that same gift. You're meant to prophesy, unlock people, pray for people with a boldness, with an expectation. If you would ask me years ago, like, hey, let's go to the hospital and pray for some people, I'd be like, just call me later. I'm going to go pray at home. I was that Christian. Now you say, let's go to the hospital. It's like regulators, mount up, let's go. That's because I had the revelation on the power of the cross. So as I end this part, because I want to make sure that we all do communion together, but I want everyone to be on the same page when we do communion together. So if you don't have Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, maybe you made that decision with your mind, but it's never dropped 18 inches to your heart, I want you to make that decision. Because communion only becomes power when we have the revelation of who Jesus is in our life. So if that's you tonight, if I could have every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to create enough space for you to say, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to submit to my life to him, that I can rule and reign over the things that I've been walking through. I want to pray for you tonight. So if that's you, just saying, I want to rededicate my life or I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior for the first time in my life, I just want you to raise your hand. I want you to just do that right now so I can pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you out. I just want to just raise it up and you can take it down right now if there's anyone tonight. I see your hand up there. Come on, man. One of the most incredible things you can do. Anybody else? It's one of the most powerful things on this Good Friday is the revelation of who Jesus is in our life. Is there anybody else tonight? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Tonight's where it all changes, the power of the cross. I'm telling you, it's going to be taken. Communion is going to be powerful, all of us together tonight. But is there anybody else that wants to reposition Jesus? They want their eternity in heaven. I'll wait 30 more seconds. Come on. We thank you, Lord. Is there just anybody else? I love it. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we have a book for you and a Bible. We are going to take you through a prayer, those two hands. Great. We're going to get you a Following Jesus book. We want to teach you the next steps. One of them is baptism, if you've never been baptized. But we want to lead you through a prayer just to seal that decision with Christ. We want to grab just some details. And so we'll have someone come up to you at the end of service and get you a Bible and the next steps book called Following Jesus. But we're going to take communion right now, and this will be one of the greatest things, because if you know the power of the cross, you know what Good Friday stands for. When he said it is finished, how many know that at the Last Supper that night, and we'll pass out the emblems. If some of you don't have any communion cups, raise your hand. We'll make sure we get them out. We had them at the door, but don't worry. We'll pass them out right now. You know, at the Last Supper, Jesus sat down with his disciples and he was just taking them through Holy Communion. He was saying, do this in remembrance of me. Here's the difference. Jesus did this, but he said, my blood will be shed for forgiveness of sins. My body will be broken, so yours doesn't have to be. We take communion for two reasons. One, we want to remember what happened on that Friday. But that's not, we just don't want to remember it. We want resurrection power. You know, I love it. Everybody's into ancestry.com. My mom's like, oh, you got to get this. Check out your blood. Yeah, let's figure it out. You know what's so funny? It's actually because people want to find out their identity. Revelation. Oh, yeah, I grew up thinking I was like a fourth Cherokee. Okay? No, I'm sorry, an eighth Cherokee. So my whole life I was told. I even came up with my nickname. It was Asphalt Walker. All throughout college, I'd be like, why don't you have shoes on? I'm Indian. I don't need shoes. Walk around. My whole life, I had the identity. I was an eighth Cherokee. I used to sing that Tim McGraw song. I'm an Indian outlaw, half Cherokee, half Choctaw. My lady, she's a Chickawawa. She's a one of a kind. Listen. My whole life, my great-grandma, she would get up in the morning and she'd go around and make cornbread. She'd say, oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like, I'm not joking. My whole life, that's all we ever knew. And then my mom got her ancestry.com. Zero Indian. Our entire identity growing up was this whole Indian thing. Then we came to find out that my great-grandma was grew up on the reservation. She even looks Indian. My uncle definitely looks Indian. They grew up on a reservation. They learned all the things about it, but nothing in the blood. My revelation was, when we're doing communion tonight, it doesn't matter the DNA of the past, where you came from, but your DNA of the blood does matter where you're going to. Come on. Jesus died, took all our sins, and adopted us into his house. It's not adoption on paper. It's adoption by the blood of the Lamb. Passover was the blood of a spotless lamb on the door. it took out all the kids in Egypt, except those that had the lamb, the blood of the lamb. I'm telling you tonight, there's one thing to remember, but there's other things that people need a miracle in here. They need a healing in here. Holy Communion is about taking the emblems that represent that it is finished, realizing there's power in the blood, that Jesus's body was bruised, beaten, so we don't have to live out that way. How many know there's no cancer in heaven? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tonight, we're going to take Holy Communion. We're going to take this little wafer on the top here. We're going to take this juice representing the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. We're going to open up this altar. And on your own time, on this Good Friday, 2018, this is more than just tradition and religion. This is relationship with a Savior that loves you and me. This would have never happened in my church. But then again, I didn't change much in 30 years. Come with an expectation to the altar that your marriage can be better, that your financial position can be better, that your dreams could come back to life, that your vision can be restored, not only your sight, but your vision for your life. So I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna ask my ministry team to come up. If you need prayer, go to them. If you just wanna come to the altar and take communion, I want you to do it. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for this 1 hour of power that we can come and honor you. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. God, we will celebrate you on Sunday, but tonight we honor you. God, tonight we honor you. So as we take this communion, God, I ask that bodies are restored, minds are restored. God, you remind us of your grace. That no matter how broken we are, you can heal it all. So God, we honor you tonight. And the church said, amen. The altar's open.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.